There are so many women out there that are taking a stand against gender inequality and are paving the way for the future generation. Ordinary women that are creating a more inclusive and powerful society, free from stereotypes, racism and sexism. And I'm here to share their stories with all of you. Stay tuned, because this is WEN Power, your source of inspiring, powerful and positive stories. And I'm here to discover how we can change the narrative, one story at a time. I am your host, Ilaria Biancacci, journalist and founder of WEN Power. It's rare to think that a t-shirt can change the life of a refugee in a camp in Greece. But indeed, this is what Solidarity is doing, thanks to the help of thousands of students and volunteers. This international charity is raising awareness on the refugee crisis and its injustices, highlighting the importance of sustainable aid and promoting sustainable volunteering. Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of WEN Power Podcast. We are here today with Alexa from Solidarity. Hello, Alexa, how are you?
Hi, I'm well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining our podcast and for letting us share in the story of Solidarity and how you helping and supporting charities that are working with migrants, refugees and asylum seekers. Solidarity started with a student idea in 2017, and in just 3 years, the idea of one student became a movement. Now you are based in 8 countries, you have 60 teams and 800 students involved, and thousands of people are wearing the Solidarity. And yourself are a full-time veterinary student and currently the executive director of Solidarity. So when did you decide to join this charity, and how has been the journey so far?
Well, the last part of that I can answer in a word. It's been just an incredible experience. I actually joined Solidarity because in my fourth year, I was running the TEDx Cambridge University conference, and we invited the speakers to give TEDx talks. And one of these people was Tiara, who founded Solidarity. And so over a period of weeks and months, I was working with her to craft her talk, and we were meeting every week, and I was learning more about Solidarity and why she set up the charity. And I just realized in that moment that I really wanted to do something. And so that was fourth year. I'm in my sixth year now. And I think the reason that I've stayed with Solidarity, and it's become really my biggest focus that I've ever really had, is because I didn't know that refugees and asylum seekers were living in camps until this point. And I didn't know that funding lawyers was a way to provide like empowering long-term aid. And because I didn't know that, as somebody who really, really wants to help and tries to keep informed with different issues, it just made me feel like awareness raising is really the key here.
You felt like you were part of something bigger, something that had a real change on the life of someone.
Yeah, and I could just see the impact. I think you can having somebody being granted access to a lawyer. Asylum interviews are just notoriously complex, almost impossible really to navigate without external support. And knowing that actually by enabling somebody who really does have a well-founded fear of persecution to be able to represent themselves appropriately, as is their fundamental right really, and to be able to then go on and lead fulfilling and productive lives in their new host country just feels like very real change to me.
For all our audience that is following us right now, would you like to explain a little bit more what is Solidarity actually doing on the ground, and how are you working to empower migrants and refugees?
Yes, it would be great to backtrack a bit because I jumped in there. But in essence, Solidarity is the largest student-led charity worldwide, and we are fighting to make long-term change in the refugee crisis. And we really want to do 3 things. We want to give grants to NGOs working to provide legal aid to refugees and asylum seekers. But we also want to raise awareness of the injustices which are perpetrated against asylum seekers and refugees worldwide, and educate people about not only why this doesn't need to be the case, but what the solutions are. And thirdly, I really view Solidarity, part of our mission anyway, especially as a student-led charity, as to empower the next generation of activists, to empower our students with skills and confidence to keep standing up for refugee rights throughout their future lives.
This is amazing. I mean, power, especially when we're talking about a new generation, and if we want to achieve a change, if we really want to make a change also in someone's life, it's really important to give the tools and to inspire a new generation to come on board, because they will be living in this world after us. So it's important that they are equipped with the knowledge and all the tools necessary. So it's really interesting what you're doing, and the idea that you is a charity and it's run by students and it involves students from all over the world, I think he gives even more power to this initiative.
I'm incredibly admiring of all of our student volunteers, and as you said, I say it all the time, but I really know that today's students are going to be tomorrow's industry leaders and parents and voters and educators. So if we want to make meaningful change that really unites the entirety of society, this feels like a good place to start.
Definitely. This is a question I've been asking to all the organization and women we've been interviewing so far. How did COVID impact the work that you're doing with Solidarity, and how did you adjust to this completely new normal?
Yeah, so COVID really affects us in a variety of ways, because the main things that our student volunteers and their university teams do are to hold events which range from panel discussions and speaker events all the way through to things like Dance for Solidarity club nights and fashion shows and comedy events. But they also sell our custom-made t-shirts, our Solidarities, and that's one of the primary ways that we raise funds for the grants that we give to NGOs. Now, in March last year, universities pretty much closed overnight. So suddenly our students are sent home with very little notice, and they are panicking, really. They're going on the trains, trying to get their parents to pick them up, and a lot of them just couldn't bring their t-shirts home with them that we've given to all these volunteers. And we were relying on that money. And all of their events that they had planned had all been cancelled because it was no longer safe. So there was a minute there where we were a little bit nervous. But I think what this has just shown me is that there is such tremendous creativity and determination within the student community, because overnight we transformed and they were online events instead of physical events. But the same things were happening. We were still having online conferences, online art galleries, online cooking classes. And our reps moved to selling t-shirts through our online shop just overnight. They were just super flexible. And do you know what? I think also people, not just students, really came together as a result of COVID. It was something that everyone in a way, one way or another, was going through worldwide. And I'm not saying that everyone was affected equally, because there are various factors at play that mean that that's not the case. But when we realised what immense danger refugees living in camps in Europe and Greece especially would be in, when we were hearing reports of things like one tap per 1,300 people, we launched an open letter to European leaders, and we had 100 different groups co-sign this letter, and we did a big push on social media, and so many people were willing to support us and to stand up for refugee rights in the face of COVID that it was really just quite remarkable, and it's stayed with me ever since.
If you want to know more about refugees and asylum seekers, read their stories and understand their journeys, check Amnesty International UK. Offers a variety of articles and reports to help you understand more about refugees and asylum seekers, legislation, and the UK immigration system. If you love books, in We Are Displaced, Malala shares her own journey and those of displaced young women around the world. Their stories are important reminders that even when girls are forced from their homes, they don't leave behind their dreams for the future. You can also visit the Refugee Council website to learn more about the lives of refugees in the UK, analyze data and reports, and discover how you can support or help. If you are a teacher, the UN Refugee Agency created the Teaching About Refugee page. Here you can find free of charge and adaptable teaching material on refugees, asylum, migration, and statelessness. You mentioned before that Solidarity is raising money and to support a local NGO, especially in Greece, and this money are raised For example, to help and support with legal, with lawyers, legal support, and so on. Which have been your most important results achieved so far? If there is something particular that you would like to quote.
Gosh, you know, that's an incredibly difficult question because literally every single information session is a huge win to me, every asylum preparation session. But interestingly, we did actually receive a report from one of the NGOs that we funded since 2018. They're called Phoenix Humanitarian Legal Aid. They work in Lesbos. And they sent us their activity report for 2020 just recently, and they've had a 73% success rate with family reunification, which to me is one of the most meaningful things. So family reunification processes can take years and they are super difficult. And to see that kind of success rate is just really, really wonderful news for me.
I know that the logo on the t-shirt, the picture on the t-shirt change every year, and that you give space to refugees and asylum seekers to express their creativity by having their artwork printed on the t-shirt. I think this is something, again, very remarkable, because it's not just a normal t-shirt that you will sell to raise funds. It's also a platform for them to have their voices and their idea expressed.
I can tell you the story of how our latest design, the 2020 collection, came about. They were launched in October 2020, and that was right after I'd come back from a trip to Thessaloniki in northern Greece. And I was there to meet with as many NGOs as I possibly could to learn about their work, the challenges they were facing, and really what we could be doing to help. And I walked into this community centre, an NGO called El Pida Home, and that means hope in Greek. And as I walked in, there was this life-size piece of artwork, paper, taped to the wall. And I just remember thinking, that is amazingly beautiful. And I asked the team to tell me more about it. And it was a collaborative piece, which was created by 12 refugees and asylum seekers. They'd all stood against the paper in different poses, and the other people in the group had traced their outlines onto the paper. And then they'd colored in the overlapping segments, and they were all standing in different poses and different positions. And I think what I found so moving about it is that it was this simultaneous diversity of shape and colour and stance and journey, but also this real unity in everyone having this shared experience of being forced to flee their home. And so what I hope with our t-shirts is that not only are we elevating the narratives of those with lived experience of forced displacement, but that everybody who wears them is taking a really visual show of solidarity. That actually I personally stand in unity with everyone who's been forced to flee their home. And I think that visual stance is really powerful. So in terms of the people who created the artwork, I mean, it was already created and we obviously were granted permission to use it. And I hope that for them to know that, you know, tens of thousands of people around the world are standing literally in solidarity. I hope that that is in some way encouraging or meaningful, but I recognize also that just wearing something is just simply not enough. And that's why we really try and focus our grant giving where we can really make impact as much as we possibly can.
And how can our followers and audience support solidarity? It's your moment now to call them for action, you know.
Well, you know, when I'm asked this question, I think the first thing that I always want to say is that every single conversation that's had about refugee rights does bring us one step further than where we started. So before I go into all the ways that you can support us in more concrete ways, I think just calling out the next person who says something that's just a little bit inappropriate at a dinner table or a Zoom dinner table, if you want, or taking the time to read an article on Facebook and maybe reshare or maybe like it to support NGOs, it can actually go a really long way. But in terms of us specifically, attending our events is super great, as is buying a t-shirt, right? all proceeds from, we spend literally 4% on admin and operational costs, and everything else that isn't used to manufacture t-shirts goes straight to amazing NGOs in Greece. But the other thing that I often personally really stand by is, and kind of recommend to people, is the concept of the virtual gifts that we have. So you can gift somebody the equivalent of a lawyer's fees for a day or a caseworker's fees, and you get a really nice handwritten card or personalized email. And I don't know, it's always been one of my favorite initiatives that we run, and we're always very grateful for any support.
So I hope that everyone that is listening to us today, maybe they will start first to get used a little bit more to the topic and to research and to discover what is really going on, and then possibly to help and support solidarity somehow. Is there an empowering message you would like to share with our audience today?
Yes, there is. So this is my favorite kind of quote that I live by, and I always quoted my mom as telling it to me, but she recently told me that she actually stole it from Serena Williams. Okay. But it doesn't matter. It's the concept that actually people who are champions and who really achieve amazing things are not more talented than you or have an amazingness or an amazing that necessarily. Actually, they just show up every single day, even when it's tough and you don't really feel like it and it feels like you're not getting anywhere. And I really try to live by that, because actually just little steps every single day, or as one asylum seeker that I met said, it's small but persistent and continuous drops that make an ocean. I think that's all we can do, right? It's just keep having these conversations on a daily basis, and we will make change.
Definitely, definitely. Just we need to show up. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Alexa, for being with us today. It was very inspiring to listen to Solidarity's story, and I hope that everyone that was listening to us today enjoyed this interview and will want to discover more about your program as well and to support you in this journey.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for all the amazing work that you're doing with WinPower as well. It's really wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you again. If this was your first time listening to WinPower Podcast, thank you for taking the time. Don't forget to share, follow, or comment. A special thank you to all my colleagues, because without them, WinPower wouldn't exist. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting WinPower. We will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring, and positive stories of ordinary women. Find us on Podbean and Spotify as WinPower Podcast. Subscribe to our newsletter on WinPower.co to keep you up to date with all the future projects. Follow us on social media at WinPower UK. Don't forget that together we empower women. My name is Ilaria Biancacci for WinPower Podcast. Until next time.